Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And a one, and a two, and a...
Hey.
Hey, Dallas.
Hello.
Welcome back to Mr. Red's Lair.
It's good to be back in the lair.
Hello, everyone. I'm Mr. Red. Welcome to Mr. Red's Lair. Today, we are going to be talking to Dallas Shaffer.
You're so right? famous.
That's how you pronounce it.
That's my name, yeah.
Dallas Shaffer. Dallas was in a proof of concept that we shot just last year called Skrilla, which premiered at the Chandler Film Festival in Arizona. Wider, bigger, big-ass movies.
Yeah.
That's what we do here at Boston. We make big-ass movies. Dallas, how have you been?
Life's been good, man.
Life's been good. You dig the music and stuff?
What?
You dig the music?
I dig the music. The music's so loud, I can barely hear you.
Okay, let's fade it out. We're going to fade it out. Welcome to the lair.
It's good to be back in the lair.
I really appreciate it. Dallas, I just want to say something.
Yes.
You know, you and Paul Kruger,
yep.
who I will have back on to discuss your short film, Moon River.
Moon River.
Which has just been shot. You were explaining to me where it's at right now. Where yep. are you guys at with Moon River right now?
Yeah, so we wrapped production about a month ago, and now we've been going through the edit, and we've been doing multiple layers of edits.
Right.
And like the first layer is basically spanking the skeleton together, and then now we did the layer of adding the meat to the skeleton, you know, so we mastered some of the cuts, did a little J cuts, made the audio sound good, and now we're in the third layer, we're adding the skin to it, and we're adding like the sound effects and the music. So it's going good. There's a few more days we need to do some like B-roll stuff and get like exterior building, nighttime, daytime. We need to get like a bunch of shots of like this car driving at night, but I think we're like a month away.
You're in it. You're in it to win it.
We're deep. There's no going back.
So you heard it here first. They're spanking the bones, slapping the skin, making it a nice thing. And that's what you do when you want to make something, right? You got to take the time, put it together. How long has this idea been with you guys?
Oh my gosh. We started this idea in like 2022, back when we were making our web series, Boy Talk.
Boy Talk, distributed by Wild 7 Studios. You can watch it on Tubi. Please watch.
Yeah. Find it on Tubi.
Yes. It was around that time when you guys first linked up.
Did we ever tell you the story of Moon River, of how we like constructed it all? It's quite a journey.
No, not at all. In fact, this episode, you're going to be learning about the nitty gritty of getting your stuff going and stuff, because we will get into Skrilla as well. That's what you do. If you want to make something, you just go and make something, and then it will lead to great things, and it'll lead to great contacts, great friendships. Go ahead.
Okay, right. So we were filming season 4 of Boy Talk, and that was like a sitcom that we put together. And about halfway through making the sitcom, we realized, like, I think it's time to move on from the web series world. Let's make a movie. And we kind of constructed this whole idea of Moon River. We put the script together. And I think the first thing we actually did, which is what we do with all of our short films, is we kind of make a playlist, which is like music, which will be like the vibe of the movie. So we did that. Then we wrote a script. And then we knew that we were going to do it the proper way. Like, we were going to fundraise, all this jazz. And then we decided that we wanted to make it like a proper movie. So, like, let's get a DP. Let's do the whole crew thing. So we did that. And then the DP is like, okay, well, if you're going to, you know, do this, you need to pay for like a gaffer. You need to pay for a sound guy. You need to pay for a key grip, you know, like all these things. And we're like, holy cow. So we did the fundraiser. And Paul actually originally wanted to do the fundraiser for like $3,000 or $5,000. And I was the one that was like, no, got to do 10. Even 10 wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And then somehow, to our amazement, we actually raised the money, which was mind-blowing. But then we were talking with the DP and everything about the days and the camera equipment. And it was going to be about a 14-day shoot. Mm-hmm. And we had 43 pages to film. And like the sound guy, for instance, was like $400 a day. So like 12 days with that guy would be like our entire budget. So then like, and we were going through this kind of like trying to figure out who we could pull for like favors in terms of like, you know, different crew members. And we came to the realization we don't have enough money for this movie. So then we started this whole, then we had this new conversation of like, we're going to turn this 43-page script into a 23-page script. So we had to like chop half of it and like knit it together. Mm-hmm. And the 23-page one was okay. It wasn't as funny. And then we're going through the thing. We're trying to figure out the budget. Like, okay, now here's the budget. We're filming for 6 days. The crew members, blah, 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 the locations. And then we came to the conclusion again, we don't have enough money. And they're like, okay, let's going to turn this into a 10-page script. And then we changed the entire movie. And then we turned it into like a 12-page script about a monster. It became a monster movie.
Like a full-on kaiju kind of thing?
Like, yeah, like, like, you know, like the demon in Insidious?
That was
the big reveal that there was going to be like a demon monster.
Yeah.
And then we go to the DP with us, we're like, it's a monster movie. And he's like, do you have any idea how much it's going to cost to like create this demon? And then like, so we didn't even have enough money for the demon version. So then we're like, okay, we're going to, new idea. We're going to film the first 5 minutes of the movie. And then we're going to use that as pitch material to then turn it into a feature. And then we had these conversations for a couple weeks. And then we realized that that wasn't what we wanted to do. And then we came up with one idea that we were really excited about. We ended up not doing it. But then we're like, what if? Because, you know, like with Boy Talk, we filmed everything very run and gun with like a Sony camera. And we're like, what if we filmed the first 5 minutes, whole film crew, film it on like an Arri Alexa. And then after 5 minutes, we cut to black and it says, at this point in the movie, we ran out of money. And then the rest of the movie continues like run and gun on the Sony camera. And then we decided not to do that. And then we're like, okay, what if we just go back to filming the way we always film? No DP, no crew, run and gun.
Right.
And then we just did that. And then we were able to film the entire movie.
Well, I have to say, I commend you guys for accomplishing it.
Yeah.
April and I were shocked at how you guys were able to do it because you guys had nothing. Like,
right.
You know, I mean, and I say nothing in comparison to like the fucking big cat studios, fat cats out here. They have trillions of billions of dollars. They're working with almost unlimited funds. Guys like you and guys like me, you know, we got to just make it however we can.
You just got to make it.
Yeah, yeah, you just got to make it. Now, you guys were kind enough to have me as an actor on
your... Oh, dude, you were great. Oh, we were literally looking at some of your footage today.
Thank you.
And yeah, like you in the funeral scene. Well, who could it be?
Thank you.
You look around.
Yeah, well, I am available to anybody out there for work. These bastards didn't pay me because they didn't have enough money, but it was very fun. It was very fun. And I have to say, though, it was kind of weird for me the first day.
Yeah.
Because usually I feel like I'm either on something as an actor, like I was with you guys.
Mm.
But when it's something that's Wild 7, I do feel like myself and my partners, we are the center of the universe, of the gravity. Mm. And so we were I was in a situation where it's like, no, I'm not the center of this universe. And it seems like everybody knows each other on this thing.
Right.
You guys seem like a very tight-knit group of filmmakers. Is that safe to assume?
Yeah. Well, you know, we were making Boy Talk for like three years. And pretty much everyone that's a character in Moon River was at one point or another in the web series. So
Right. Everyone
we've kind of been working with for 3 years. And that's why like a lot of people like agree to like, because we know them, like some actors were on it for like 7 days and they had to commit like full days and like no pay. Like,
right, right, right.
Right. I mean, obviously, if we could pay them, we would. But
yeah, no, obviously, I got to say, these guys are marvelous guys. Mm. They're awesome. And if they could pay, they would.
I guess,
but the thing is, you got to do what you got to do. Now, this brings me to how you came to Wild 7 and stuff like that.
Yep.
Take me back.
Oh, what a fun story. Yeah.
The first thing was...
The Diaspora series.
Yes.
Yeah.
How many years ago was that?
That was 2021.
That was written and directed by Chris Troll. You can find it on Plex, actually. It's on right now. It's available international, worldwide. So you were on Diaspora.
Yep.
And then from Diaspora, you know, Chris Troll is actually in the room right now. I love him to death. He's a super talent. I call him Movie Beast. Chris
yep,
and I
that's him.
Have been raised on crime films. Like, Chris and I can talk movies forever, but crime films are like the things that we grew up with and stuff. Mm. And so Chris is basically, he's making his crime film and stuff. And so he came up with a proof of concept called Skrilla.
Yes.
That's how we found, that was the second thing that we worked on with you.
Yes.
Which that was shot last year, correct?
Yeah, I think it was June 29th and January 29th and 30th of 23.
Cool.
To be specific.
Yeah, my computer just went bloop. Yeah. What I wanted to say was, Dallas, when we were making Skrilla, I was the co-producer, and I think I did a good job co-producing.
Yeah.
You could be honest. Be totally real.
The vibe I got was like, you know, Ignaz is the boss, you know?
Wait, really?
Yeah, that was the vibe.
I was going to ask, did you think I was an asshole?
No. I thought you were totally fine. If anything, really? I was like trying to seem like extra cool towards you.
Oh.
Because the vibe I got was like you were the top producer dog.
Okay, well, it's a joint venture between Chris, April, and myself. We are like a three-headed Ghidorah.
Yeah. Oh, okay,
so
okay.
We are the top dogs, I would say. And April's not a dog. She's a cat. Chris and I are dogs. We're dirty dogs. But I noticed you were a bit quiet around me.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
And
yeah.
I thought this guy thinks I'm a dickhead. Like, he thinks I'm some producer douchebag. And I wanted to be like, hey, man, I'm not. Like, it's okay, you know? Like,
yeah.
But then we connected, I feel, through you doing the podcast.
Yep.
And again, you guys were kind enough to have me on Moon River, which I really appreciate. I always love being on other people's.
Dude, you were great. You were literally awesome.
So now we're cool, right?
We're cool. It was never I thought you were a dick. It was always like, oh, that's like the main boss.
Okay,
and I was like,
okay.
I want him to like me.
Well, I have to say, I was always quiet around you because I knew you were the lead and I didn't want to break your concentration. You know, I just didn't want to, you know, say anything like uncouth. To pull you out of the moment and stuff. I have to say, Dallas, you missed out on the Chandler Film Festival.
I know.
Premiered Skrilla.
I know.
Who watched you on screen?
That dude from...
Hank! Norris! Hank from Breaking Bad.
Yes, yeah,
Dean
that
Norris,
guy.
Norris,
yeah.
His name is. Dean Norris saw you, and I can tell he was amazed.
He was amazed. You like saw him while he was watching me?
Real talk. Breaking Bad is like so high in the culture of like crime cinema, crime TV, I should say.
Right.
That to see a guy who's an OG of that genre sit down and enjoy our friend Dallas, the talents of Chris Troll, the director of photography, skills of Lucas Petosi, it felt really damn good.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, at some point, not during our film, during another film, he went to use the restroom. He saved his urine. Watch the film.
He probably had to pee.
He had to piss so goddamn.
He was like, I gotta hold it for this movie because it's so effing good.
For Dallas.
For me, yeah.
And Jabril as well.
Yes.
Jabril was there. We missed you, man.
I know. I was filming another movie. I felt bad.
What was it?
It was called Ripples. And that was a fun one. It was like, I was like a husband and my brother died a few years ago and I created a time machine to go back in time to stop my brother from dying.
Right. That's cool. That's
and, you know, spoiler alert, I was the lead, yeah, but I didn't save him.
Oh, night. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, I have a question. Have you been seeing this Maven on the casting?
Yeah.
Have you been on it?
No.
No? I've been seeing it everywhere. And then on Moon River, I noticed one of the talents had that gig the next day. I thought maybe you were on it.
Oh, no.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
No, no.
No? Okay, cool. Here, give me 1 second. Excuse me, sorry. Dallas, how are you doing today?
Today I'm good. I'm pretty good.
Did you watch the Oscars?
No.
No? Okay.
I saw the highlights on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Anything you care to discuss?
You know, the best actor was a no-brainer.
Killian Murphy.
All right. I'm surprised Leo didn't end up in the top five.
Yeah. I'm not so surprised, and I will say this just in the spirit of honesty. I will just be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, Leo is a great actor. I'm not saying, and his performance was amazing. It's just his character in that movie, he's a fucking idiot. Mm. And it's like he's not too sympathetic. He's like spending the whole movie killing his poor wife. And it's like, well, I gotta like this guy and give him an award for this.
Yeah.
Killian Murphy, he was also problematic, but what are you gonna do? All right. Fair in love and war. You know what I mean?
Who do you think should have? Do you think it should have been Killian Murphy?
Who was he up against? It was Killian Murphy.
Paul Giamatti.
Hold up. Let me check this out. Goober? Oh, Cooper, Bradley. Oh, I was so sad for Bradley. He wanted that Oscar so bad.
He tried.
Boy, did he try.
He put in a lot of work.
Try award. I would create a special Oscar just for Bradley called Good Try.
Nice try.
I heard Tarantino made a Nice Try award once. I'll copy him. Nice try. He wanted it so bad.
Oh, my God.
I've never seen somebody want something so bad.
It was He did a good job. I didn't finish it, but I believed him.
It was great. He was like, Darling, I'm gay, darling. It was great. But he wanted it so bad.
Yeah.
And then, you know what's funny about that movie? I'll be real with you. All biopics, they always have a scene where the wife yells at the man.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
What's up with that? My biopic, it won't have that at all. My wife will just praise me. She'll just be like, you're great. Like,
you have a scene where you just, like, lay into her?
Yeah. And I'll really yell at her. No, I won't. No abuse. We don't smile at abuse. Not cool. But Bradley didn't get it. I was sad for him.
Mm-hmm.
And did they at least get like best makeup or something? Because he really,
like young to old.
Yeah.
Was very well.
Yeah. But I'll be honest with you, man. Like I'm being real. Like real talk. I would not be comfortable doing what Bradley Cooper did to get that Oscar. I would not. I think it's if I was of a particular persuasion, I might be offended by that. Does that make sense?
But he didn't get the Oscar.
He didn't get it.
Right.
So no harm, no foul.
But you wouldn't do what he did to make the movie, you're saying.
I wouldn't do certain choices for sure. I wouldn't feel comfortable with doing them. Let's leave it at that.
All right.
You know, but I will say I like Bradley Cooper. He seems to have a sense of humor. Jimmy Kimmel made a joke where he was like, hey, Bradley, you brought your mom here. You're always bringing your mom. Are you fucking your mom or something? And then it was more like, are you guys in a relationship or something? What's going on? And then Bradley Cooper was like in the audience, like, no, I'm not.
You're funny. Yeah, no. Silly,
you know, like, I did enjoy Maestro, but I have to say just his need for the Oscar freaks me out because, you know,
like it almost seemed like he was trying too hard.
It seems as though he perhaps reverse engineered the film to get the Oscar, but then his equations were off and he didn't get the Oscar.
Right. Interesting.
You know what I mean? See, I have a movie where I will win the Oscar.
Mm.
Ayatollah. It'll be a biopic about the whole about Ayatollah Khomeini. And you could be in it. You could be like a CIA guy.
Who's Ayatollah?
He's the Khomeini. He's the guy that started the Iranian Revolution. He was like all like angry all the time and shit. Oh shit. Fuck. Everyone, I apologize. I'm going to say some nice things about the Middle East. They're wonderful people. They're great. Dallas, have you ever met a nice Middle Eastern person?
Yes.
Me? Yeah.
Yes.
They're around.
I saw this comic at the comedy club.
Oh, yeah?
And he was from Afghanistan, and he was the funniest set of the night.
And he didn't blow up or anything.
No, he didn't explode.
He didn't explode. He just he blew up the crowd.
He blew me up.
Yeah.
Dallas,
it's important these days to be careful with who you joke about and who not. You know,
let alone on camera.
Yeah. Bradley Cooper, no problem. The Ayatollah, look out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So Dallas, such fun when you come visit. So Dallas, I was pretty good in Moon River, huh? I was okay.
You were very natural, very
Thank
natural.
You.
The
Thank
pizza
you
parlor much. Thing, even you when you were at the funeral, it was just like this like really easy wave. It was just, you know, like boom,
Thank
like you
so
just coasted right through the movie.
Thank you so much, Dallas. I really appreciate the fact that you guys trusted me to be in your art.
Yes. Stuff.
I really appreciate it. Dallas, I got to tell you something, and then we will bring it home and talk more about Skrilla and all of the fun stuff that we're releasing and stuff. I got to tell you something that happened, okay? And I just want to say I'm not mad at you and Paul. I'm just disappointed. I'll tell you what happened, okay? And I may call April to corroborate on this story. And it's all in good fun. Dallas, we love you here. And you're the best. And you're a welcome addition to Wild 7. So one time, a few months ago, Chris and April, they were out on a gig. Okay? And it's okay. I love you, man. I just want you to know. I love you. Chris, we all love you. And I love Paul. I love everybody. But did this traumatize me? Yes. Okay.
I'm like nervous right now.
It's okay. Because you're here. We can talk about it and we're going to hug it out. And it's all good. I love you guys. So one for like 3 weeks, Chris and April, they were on a gig for a big outfit. I don't even know if I can mention them. They're so big. They were out on a gig for 3 weeks. So I had to sort of run the shop and stuff. And so I'm doing my thing. And, you know, on the other side, we have the garment place where you guys shot The City with No Pity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So George, who works on the other side, he has a sewing machine. He came to me and he said, excuse me, can you come here? And I said, yeah, sure. What's up? And then he took me to a sewing machine and there was a condom on the sewing machine. And so then I immediately thought that somebody came and had sex on the sewing machine. And my brain went in like 10 million different directions. And I was like existentially scared because I thought, oh my God, my company is over. Somebody doesn't know the rules.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, you can't fuck someone on the sewing machine. And so then I like Tony Soprano, I just kept it in. I didn't tell anybody because I was paranoid. I was like, who can I trust? Who could it be?
Yeah.
I didn't know who it was, and I didn't want to point any fingers or anything. So for 3 weeks, I'm like looking around.
You're like sniffing around.
Could it have been Jimmy or Emmanuel? Or who could it have been? And, you know. And so, but the thing is, I didn't want to draw any conclusions or anything. And then on top of that, you got to understand, this company is so important to me and my partners are so important to me and everything. So they came back and I was like, okay, guys. And I admit, I got a little emotional. I was like, you guys, this company is so important to me. Why are people fucking on the sewing machines? What's going on? And then Chris said, dude, that was from Dallas and Paul's short film, You Big Goof. And then I went, these guys play jokes on me. And then we laughed it off. And I'm sorry for putting you on the spot right now, but it's all good.
Dude, I am sorry. You know, like, we went thoroughly through everything and like really, because there was a lot of condoms thrown everywhere.
If you may, so it makes sense for the audience. What was the thing?
Okay, so in The City of No Pity, it was like this gangster movie, film noir from like the 30s, 40s. And it was like these detectives and they were trying to get Tony the Rubber Man Capello. So the bad guy's name was Tony the Rubber Man. Oh. And part of the Rubber Man's deal was that he leaved used Jimmys everywhere he went.
Right.
So where we filmed was his lair. So there was just used condoms everywhere, which we thought we got like a 150 box of jimmies. So we're flinging these jimmies everywhere. Right. But like, we like, there was like a few people came to do background, right? So there was like eight of us going across trying to clean up all the jimmies when we were done. Right. Really thought we got them all. So I'm really sorry that happened.
Dallas, no apology needed. I know you're sorry. It's all in good fun. And it created awesome content.
Yeah.
Beautiful content of a funny story of Mr. Red being existentially scared. Like, because I was like, the thing that's upsetting about removing a condom is you're like, who was this inside?
Yeah.
Who's wearing this essentially scumbag?
Yeah.
And then I was just like, ah. And then like, I went home, took a hot bath, a really hot bath. My skin was red.
Wow.
You know, but hey. Dallas, I want you to know, you're part of the family, man. You're part of the Wild 7 family, and these things happen.
Okay.
You
know? Well, it's good. I like this family.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I used to, you know, have roommates, and when I was done with a date, I would just take my condom and just fling it to the wall. And they didn't like that, and they told me. No, I just left, you know. Kind of like, do you remember in Billy Madison where they throw the pickles at the window and then it slides down?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Like no, I'm just kidding. I'm not that much of an animal. Though I will say, this in the spirit of honesty, and forgive me, Dallas, if this is vulgar. When one is younger, condom disposal is pretty much like that. You're just like, rah! You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not a top priority for a young man.
It's not. It's just like, I'm done with you. Get out of here, you know? Don't
yeah.
hang out with it. It's not like a canned ham. What?
Yeah.
God, what the fuck am I talking about? I'm back from vacation, Dallas.
Yeah, I know. You're so in vacation mode still. Yeah, you're having so fun. You're having fun.
I'm having fun. I mean, I will say, Dallas, I went to New Orleans. You have not been yet.
Not been to New Orleans?
I encourage you to go, and I really appreciate that you said it correctly.
New Orleans, right?
They say the only time you pronounce it New Orleans is in a song when it rhymes. That's what the locals told me. It's a beautiful place. There's so many cool things to do. And I will say just a quick thing, Dallas. You know, in New Orleans, and you know, you're engaged.
You're
an engaged man.
Yep.
So this does not exactly apply to you, but just to anybody out there. In New Orleans, they have this cool transactional thing where if you give beads, women show their breasts. And this is a thing, it happens. And I just wanna say, I found beads in like the gutter, and then I washed them off. And then one night I was like, let me go, you know, maybe I'll see some breasts. So I went up to one of the balconies and I had my freshly cleaned beads. I went, and then this gentleman, this young kid, like 23 years old, he was with his girlfriend and her friend. He came up and started talking to me, and he was really a nice guy, and he was telling me how much of a nice guy I am and what a gentleman I am and stuff.
Yeah.
He was like, it's so nice to meet a gentleman. And then while we're talking about just stuff, these frat boys come, and they're like, literally, they were like, we want to see some titties. And then so then they went, and they were seeing the titties. They were handing out beads from the balcony. And then I'm talking to this guy and his girlfriend and his girl, and I'm like, fuck, I got to be a gentleman.
Because he called you a gentleman.
Because he called me a gentleman, and I'm like, fuck, I can't look at the breasts with these young men. And, you know, and so I was just hanging and stuff. I was just like, he was like, you're a good guy. I was like, yeah, whatever. You know. Like,
yeah, yeah. See,
but shout out to the guy. He was a cool guy.
So you saw none.
I saw them. And then I saw a few pairs of breasts. And then I did dance with a Southern girl, but she said, like, you suck at dancing. You know that, right? And I was like, yeah. She was like teaching me, and you know, but after a while I lost my patience and went home, went back to the hotel, smoked a very expensive vape because weed prices are unbelievable over there.
Is it legal there?
It's legal, and they say you have to be a resident to get it, but they really don't care. But it's fucking expensive. It made me miss my dear plug.
How much was your pen that you got?
$108.
Whoa.
For 3.5. But still, that's fucking bonkers.
That's crazy.
Yeah, dude, I could go down the street and get a little cart for $5.
How much? If you were to get like an eighth of grass, like what's?
Oh, that's like around here?
No, there.
Oh, there? That was like $60.
Jesus. That's
fucking crazy, right?
It's insane.
And which brings it back around to Skrilla. I would like to know.
Yep.
From your point of view, what would you say the narrative of Skrilla was, from based on your character playing and stuff like that?
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's the word if you're like trying to make someone proud? What's a word? What would be a word that would
That's a good question.
Felt like my character was almost trying to make his dad proud, slip into his dad's shoes. That could be the narrative, or another take could be revenge.
Right. Which is juicy storytelling.
I like, and revenge in a crime film is pretty good.
Yeah. Dude, I have to say, I know you were on a movie and stuff, and respect, I'm not going to give you shit for it, but to watch it at the festival was pretty next level.
I bet.
And I went with Chris once, years before, for another short film that he did called Iron Urn at another festival, and he crushed that one, and he won every award. It was great. It's fun to show your stuff at a festival, and it was cool to watch an audience. There's this exciting feeling of watching an audience discover a story as it's going, and when you've worked on it, you can barely see the forest for the trees or whatever. But when you see it with an audience, it's so great. And I really look forward to Wait coming out and being made and stuff. And we're on our way. I just want to say to kids out there, you know, we're filmmakers here. And you have done your experience with Moon River. You've done your web series. We have made a proof of concept for Skrilla. I just want to say, if you want a big time example of somebody that made a good proof of concept and made a good movie, the OG, Paul Thomas Anderson, with Boogie Nights. He made a film called The Dirk Diggler Story. He shot it on VHS tape. This was way back in the day. I think he was like 17. He made that. And from there, he made the amazing big schlong masterpiece, Boogie Nights, which is a great film, one of my greatest favorite films ever. So if you're a kid out there and you want to make some big-ass epic, start small. That's how everybody does it. Even the big guys out here, you know, guys with big careers and stuff, if they want to make something and they want to convince money people to give them money to make their big thing, they usually make something small to show people, an animatic or something. Go out, make your thing. Be like Chris Troll. Make your thing. Dallas, is there anything you would like to leave us with? Anything you would like to plug at all?
I would just plug Moon River. It's going to be coming out on our YouTube channel probably within like 3 months. And watch Moon River. Watch it again. Tell a friend about it. And then tell that friend to tell a friend, Moon River. But is there any update you could tell me about Wait?
TBA. TBA. Good things are always coming in Wild 7, but it's all a process. And the thing is, I think with every project, whether it's a big studio or an indie studio like ours, it is like pushing a rock up a mountain. You do it incrementally, you do it little by little, and then eventually that rock goes up, goes down, goes woo, 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 and then it goes out into the world, crushes a whole village, people are dead.
Right.
We're all gonna die.
So we're still going up the mountain.
We're still going up the mountain. But, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, until it is in front of an audience, you're going up that mountain. I mean, you hear about, like, filmmakers, you know, keeping some, like, working on something until, like, a few days before the release and stuff. It happens. So
right.
Like, that's where we're at. We're an indie studio. Wild 7 represent. I would like to encourage our audience to check out Skrilla on YouTube. It is currently gaining its audience and people are loving it. We're getting a bunch of new subscribers because people are just loving the thing. I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of how it looks, how it's acting. The acting is phenomenal.
Same.
The book is phenomenal. It's written beautifully. It's one of my favorite things ever. And I look forward to the journey that it has created for us and stuff. And Dallas,
yes,
always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
And I forgive you guys for the call.
Sorry.
No,
yeah.
No worries. Once I knew what was up, it was all good.
Yeah.
Once I knew somebody was not raw dogging, but like actually, like, you know, wasn't that.
Yeah.
I was happy.
It was for cinema.
It was for cinema. Speaking of cinema, check out Debbie and the Devil on Tubi or buy the Blu-ray. You know, you can also check out Amigas the Telenovela on Tubi. You can also check out Boy Talk on Tubi, starring this guy.
Boy Talk.
By the way, on Moon River, you jumped right into a dumpster.
Yes.
That was a real thing.
It was a real thing.
And that dumpster wasn't rented. It was an actual dumpster, right?
It was, and it was completely empty. We should have put some padding in there when I jumped, because I literally just like landed in like straight metal.
Commitment to the craft.
That's it. That's it.
That's what it is. Dallas, you are one of my favorite people.
Thank you.
That? Cool. Fist bump. Awesome. Sweet. All right. Cool.
Please take a moment and hit those like and subscribe buttons. While a small gesture, it really means a lot to Wild 7 Studios and allows us to continue creating meaningful and fun content for your viewing pleasure.